Well, have you ever felt lonely in a crowded room? Been in the group of people and you just still felt alone? Or maybe the silence around you is deafening. Maybe feelings of abandonment. Even there could be people all around you. You could still have people in your life, but these feelings of abandonment that you stand alone. These are just a few of the feelings that we can have in the hard times in our life. So to recap, last week we began this series and we did all the background work of Lamentations, looking at that. But we looked at how the hard moments in life really are hard. And we can feel alone and we can feel abandoned and we can feel that God has left us. And God, sometimes we can feel as though God has caused it. We also talked about free will. And we talked about how our choices have consequences. So specifically last week, we talked about how there are ramifications in our life for things that we do and how we need to look to God. We look to God. So this week, as we go through, we're going to take another step in the book of Lamentations, looking at chapter 2 and the verses that were read prior. So starting in verse 3, it says, "The fierce anger, he has cut off every horn of Israel. He has withdrawn his right hand at the approach of the enemy. He is burned in Jacob like a flaming fire that consumes everything around it." In the difficult times, it is easy to feel abandoned. You may not actually be abandoned, but it doesn't change the feelings of actually feeling abandoned. You may not be, but the feelings are real. And here in this passage, these people in Jerusalem, they have been attacked by the Babylonian armies. They feel God has left them. And in the extremeness of their emotion, extremeness of their circumstances that's going around them, they feel enveloped in this seclusion. They feel alone. Be around all these people. They're full of a city, full of people. But yet the poet writes that they feel alone. They feel alone. This passage, it talks about being cut off. The horn of Israel is cut off, and that speaks of the blessing of God. They're feeling that they've been cut off from God's blessing. Have you ever been there or felt that like nothing can, will, or is going to go right? It's like God's blessing has been totally cut off from your life and everything's going down the pooper. Right? Specifically here in this passage, they are getting angry with God. For they are cut off. And when are they being cut off? Right as their enemies are approaching them. The enemies are coming. This is the time when God's supposed to like step out, right? He rips the white shirt off, reveals the Superman sign, and I'm here. Rah. But it seems God is gone. For them, it's this physical enemy that's coming. And maybe it's not a physical enemy. Maybe you don't have physical enemies. I know I've had physical enemies at times. Maybe it is. Sometimes it's a spiritual or financial or emotional enemy that's coming. Ephesians talks about how our true enemy is against darkness and principalities that rule this world. It's not against flesh and blood. And in this moment, it can feel as the enemy's coming in, it can feel as though God has fled. He's gone. And these are real feelings. Real feelings. Have you ever felt that you're standing in the middle of a house and it's burning down around you? Everything that you've built up in life, everything you've put your faith and your hope in, and it's crumbling around you. And there you are standing, looking at ashes. And you're wondering why? Why is this happening? Everything that Jerusalem knew at this time was gone. We talked about it last week, some of the history of it, how Nebuchadnezzar, he came, he took over because of their choices. But when Nebuchadnezzar put in little kings to rule them, those kings rebelled. And so he said, well, I'm going to flatten the city. And he left it a smoldering rubble. They felt everything they knew was gone. Literally, everything they knew. They were taken into captivity. And everything that lay before them was foreign. And here's what they say, starting in verse 5. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for daughter Judah. He has laid waste his dwelling like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. The Lord has made Zion forget her appointed festivals and her Sabbaths. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. It's like God is against us in the midst of the pain. They're saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that? So last week we talked about this idea of free will and how God's not this micromanager in the sky, right? Moving all the pieces, determining everything that's going to happen. We have free will. And free will, though it can bring pain in our life, it also brings immense joy and love. And I believe that the joy and love that it brings is greater than the pain, but it doesn't negate the pain. There's still pain in our life. But just because there's things that go wrong in our life, and just because God isn't the micromanager moving all the pieces all the time, it doesn't mean that God is not working. We're not talking about deism where, you know, they believe that God is out there, but he only comes and interacts in our lives at certain moments in time. That's not what the scriptures tell us. It's not what we've experienced in our life. God works in our life. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. God in us moving and working in our hearts. God's kingdom will come. That's what we talked about last week. And it's what Israel believed. So though they blamed God, though they believed everything was going wrong in their life, they believed that God's kingdom was actually going to come. But yet they still had these feelings. You know, we can believe certain things, but that doesn't mean that we feel them in the midst of the storm. We can know that everything's going to be all right in our head, but as we stand in the house that's burning around us, our heart may not feel that way. Sometimes in the hard moments of life, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. The circumstances in our life, they can often blind us. They can often blind us, and we actually don't know what is true. We're tossed in confusion. It's this fight or flight in our bodies. And we get this release in us, and we just want to, well, depending on who you are, for me, I just want to fight. It can be hard to focus on the shore when it feels as though you're drowning in the middle of the ocean. I once did a cold water test when I was in college. My father thought it'd be a good idea. He wasn't the one getting hypothermia. So what I had to do, I had to wear this sweatsuit and sneakers and a life jacket. And I had these probes, and we won't talk about that. And they stuck me in a flume of moving water. So it was continually moving, and it was 11 Celsius. And so when we think of air, 11 Celsius is okay. Water is much colder than air, all right? And so I had to swim in this flume. So first time I do the crawl, next time I had to do the breaststroke, and the last time I could do whatever I want, which I went to turtle like this. And I had to look at a screen, and I had to answer questions. How far does it look? How long do you think it's going to take you? What's your probability of success? I'm like, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't think I was ever going to make that short. It wasn't even real. It was on the screen. It felt real. I'm in the middle of a flume, swimming. And your body's getting colder and colder. It's hard when you're in the middle of the water. I don't know if you've actually been in the middle of the water looking for the shore. But I bet most of us have been there emotionally. And you try and look for that anchor point in your life, and you can't see it. It's just not there. And even if you do see it, you can't get there. It's hard. How do you get there? This is how Israel felt. Yes, they believed the kingdom would come. They believed everything was going to be right at one point in time. But it's hard to see it in the middle of it. Christopher Wright says, "The sea, symbol of all that is unbound, infinite, chaotic, and beyond measurement. Any wound as deep as the ocean is surely beyond healing." And the language that the poet, the words that he's using when it talks about swallowed up. This is ancient Hebrew language to speak of the ocean and the waters. And it was spiritual for them. The waters, they believed, were a spiritual force. And they could not be tamed. And they were a representation of chaos. The poet is saying they feel as though they are in the middle of the water. And when we are in the deep, it can surely feel as though there's no hope and there is no healing. For them, everything is swallowed up. And they feel that they are left to drown in a sea of insult and injury. And finally, I think they talk about something that's really real. They talk about their festivals and Sabbath. And isn't that hard in the midst of the pain? Whether it's loss, whether it's some emotional or mental or physical thing. The holidays, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries. The hard moments in life become harder. And they lose all their power, right? Let's talk about the warmth and charity of Christmas, but you don't feel it. It's stale. And this is what's happening. These are real emotions on the page. Real things. They feel it. So finally, verse 9 and 10. Her gates have sunk into the ground. Their bars he has broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. There is destruction that they're speaking of. For them, it is like the metaphysical world, right? The gates are sinking. The walls are falling. There's no security. And it's sinking in the waters of pain. Now, this could be a metaphor for us, right? The finances are not working out. Seems our life is sinking. Relationships are crumbling. There's family members who are gone for whatever reason. Things are not going right. And the things that we've built up to protect us sink lower and lower into the ground. Adele Berlin writes, "The city is intentionally and methodically being unbuilt. God stretched out a line not to construct something, but to destroy it." Have you felt like you were sinking in life? and you're trying to keep your head above the water. And it slowly drifts up. You know, we fortify our life to avoid moments like this. We put up walls. My favorite analogy is faces, but we won't get into that. But you can buy my book on Amazon. All right. We fortify our lives. We protect our hearts, our souls. We build it up brick by brick over the years so the hurt can't come in. And we think we are protected, but then a moment like this comes. Devastation, whatever it is in your life. Every life is different. And everything we built seems to fall down. And we are left with silence. And sometimes it seems as though God has gone silent. God, where is your voice? This is what they are asking. And others say, hey, God is speaking. But you can't hear him. The question is God silent? The heavens haven't opened up. Ah, right? Beams of light shining down. There's no audible voice speaking to you.
Thus saith the Lord.
Because he speaks like that.
The Lord says to you this day, go, my child.
No. It's silent. I've asked. Do we have creation speaking to us? Do we have community, people around us? Maybe they, in those moments, God isn't silent to them. Or they can just be the love and compassion we need. Is there a nudging in our spirit that we ignore? That little thing telling us, get out of bed, or take that step, or just do that one thing? It's the Spirit speaking to us. Do we have the scriptures telling us, giving us outlets, stories like this that say, hey, you can express your pain? Or Psalms where it expresses this, sometimes anger, sometimes sorrow, and directs our hearts back to God. Do we have these things in our life? You know, the question I always ask is, have I taken a posture of listening? Because in the hard moments of life, listening is hard. Because we get that fight or flight. And we want to survive. And what do when we want to survive? We want things our way. We try and control the narrative. And sometimes we want God to speak, but we want him to speak the way we want him to speak. And we expect God to speak on our terms. For them, they want God to speak and they want God to say, yeah, it doesn't matter what you did in your life. You can have all the good things you want in life. As we talked about last week. God says to them, there are consequences for your actions and I can't go with you. You have to go your own way. You choose your way, you go your way. And so he's allowed them to go their way and they've reaped the consequences. Now that's not the same for every situation. We talked again. I encourage you to listen to last week's message as we gave a lot of the background to this. But I think sometimes we expect God to speak and we want him to do it the way we want him to do it. And we can only hear him that way. See, we have a misplaced hope. And we want God to fortify the walls that we've already built up. We've built this up. God, it needs to stay this way because this is what makes me feel safe. Me feel comfortable. For Israel, they had all the hope and confidence, not in God. They abandoned him. They wanted their gates to stand, their walls to stay firm, and that would keep everything else out. But that's not what was happened. Because what happened to them is what always happens when we build walls up in our life. There will always be cracks. And when the waters come, when the waters of life come, the floods come, the waters get in the cracks. Have you ever had water in your foundation? I remember one time when I was living in Aurelia, we had the winter from hell, except the opposite temperatures. And we ended up with like 6 feet of like solid ice against our house in April. And meanwhile, it's like 17 degrees outside. And it all began to melt. And there was nowhere for the water to go. And we had literally just signed the papers to sell our house. People signed it. And we go downstairs the next day. And there's springs of living water rushing through the walls, coming up from the floor. And it was happening to everyone all across the city. Waters. When the water gets in, it is not good. Luckily for us, it was warm outside. But what happens is we build this up. The waters come. The water gets in the crack. Then we get into this spiritual winter of our soul. And what happens to the water inside the crack? It expands. And the foundations and the walls we build up in our life, they crumble. And they don't work anymore. The gates sink. The walls go down. It seeps through the walls. Because we built our life and our fortification on sinking sand. And we're left there. Nothing left to say. Nothing left to do. But here's the thing. The walls need to come down. Why? Because hope wants to come in. And he wants to rebuild your life on a kingdom, on a foundation. Build his kingdom on the foundation. Build the life on the foundation of his kingdom. Finally said it right the last time. He wants to build it on that foundation. On him. So though he did not cause the walls to crack, he comes in and says, I'm Mike Holmes. I will rebuild your wall. And I will rebuild it the right way. On me. Not me. Jesus says, me. So the father John the Baptist, he prophesied of the Christ coming. And he told of the message that John would say. And so in Luke chapter 1 says, praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn. See, know some common language here. Horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of our enemies. And from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father, Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way of him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. The horn that was spoken of from the beginning, that was broken, that they said was gone, is now going to be restored. And it is in Christ. The enemy that shouted victory over them, it now declares they will be silenced. Though there is sin, he has come to forgive. Though it is dark, his light will shine through. Where there is death, there will be life. Where our feet have slipped, we now have a firm step. Where peace was nowhere to be found, he stands established as the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords. The answer to lamentations is Christ. it did not come the way they wanted. It did not mean that they could hold on to the hope that they wanted, the way they wanted things to happen for them. But hope is coming, and hope has come, and His name is Christ. His name is Jesus. We were beyond healing. We could not. Nothing could fix our plight. But God. But God. And forevermore, that's our answer. But God. When the walls fall down, but God. When the gates sink, but God. When the house around us burns down, but God. In the midst of pain, in the midst of loss, but God. In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of good finances, good relationships, bad relationships, in the midst of life, in the midst of death, but God. For there is hope, and it is Christ. Jesus is God's answer to it all. And as we talked about last week, it doesn't mean everything in this life is perfect. It doesn't mean it all works out perfectly. But what it does mean is that God's kingdom will come and His will be done. And all the pain and all the turmoil and everything that was wrong in this world will be flipped on its head and will be made right. God shows through Christ that He hears the plea of lamentations. This is God's answer. He declares that He is more than enough. Christopher writes, he implores us that God has broad enough shoulders to cry on and a big enough chest to beat against. God even provides words in His scriptures to permit us, indeed to encourage us to do so. This isn't about pretending everything is all right. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to give us hope that when things are not, that we can know that one day they will. That we can know that He knows the pain in our life. He knows the hurt. And though life can stink, we can have peace because we know that's not all there is. There's more. Because no matter what is going on in life, you are not alone. No one in this room is alone. Do you know why? Because look around you. There's people here. And there's people who will be here. As we talked about last week, it's okay to be depressed. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to have feelings of aloneness. But what's not okay is to keep it to yourself. God is here. It's not just others, but God is here. Even more so, His Spirit is still moving. Jesus came so that wouldn't just be God on earth, but we would now have God in us. The Holy Spirit comes and abides in our hearts and lives and can work, but we have to be willing to let Him, and that's hard. Community is here. Just pick up the phone, send a text, send a message, show up at someone's door. My mom would love that. She sits at home watching soap operas all day. She's a big Coronation Street fan. I'm just kidding. I made that up. We're General Hospital, okay? She's watching General Hospital. All right. I was trying to protect her by putting something British. At least it was exotic. But no, it's General Hospital. She'd love for you. Just show up at her door. Start pouring into her life of all the stuff in yours. Right? Anyone. We are here for you. People are here for you. It's what I love most about our church. We are here for each other. This time last year, I had a big old cast on. And my wife was left with four kids And guess what? We didn't even ask, and people were there for us, helping us out. Helping us out. Though the walls fall in our life, God wants to be your fortress and your hope. All right, question response time. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you want clarity, push back on something. Mic here. Just stick your hand up and come around. Any questions today? Look at that, clear as mud. All right. All right, so what's the point? The point is, let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. It's scary. But if we want Jesus to come in, we have to open up the gates. Let the walls come down. Two, invite Jesus in. Let the walls come down and say, Lord, come. Be my hope. Be my shelter. And three, we need to listen. We need to listen. And that's the hard, because we want to fight. We want to swim. We want to rebuild. We want to patch the wall. Sometimes we just have to sit. We have to wait. We have to listen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that though life is hard, you promise to be our hope. Though everything isn't always perfect, you promise to be our life and our salvation. You promise to make our yoke light. And Lord, I pray that, I don't know what's going on in the room today, what people are going through, but I pray that you, Lord, you'd be able to find your way into our hearts through the walls that we've built up, through the gates. And that we wouldn't wait for the horrible situations that always come in life to break the walls down, but that we would invite you in first. And to rebuild our lives on your kingdom. Even if it has to come down brick by brick, Lord, I invite you, or take my heart, take my life, bend it to your will. And Lord, I pray for us as we go through hard situations in life, that we know that you have not abandoned us, though we may feel it. That we know that we have a community of people around us. And though we feel alone, that we would know that in the midst of the pain that we can ask for help and it will be there. I thank you, Lord, for your good and your gracious. You're full of mercy and unending love. Thank you, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.